This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to hour two, numero dos of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, your daily friendly reminder, if you're so inclined and or interested, go to CarrickerChronicles.com to learn more and or register for the inaugural Carriker Chronicles football camp, the camp that is for the kids, featuring Eric Crouch, Amon Green, Zach Wieger, Kenny Wilhite, and yours truly. July 9th here in Lincoln, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Autographs included, t-shirts included. The camp is for boys and girls, K through 8th grade. All right, at the LYF Lincoln Youth Football Fields. Take your game to the next level, learn the basics and fundamentals, have a blast, and create memories for a long time. Again, learn more and to register at CarrickerChronicles.com. All right. Another Michigan head football coach is being suspended. This time it's reportedly self-imposed. Michigan's Sharon Moore is expected to suspend himself weeks 3 and 4 as a punishment in the advanced scouting case. So this is interesting. Weeks 3 and 4. So there's a couple different ways to look at this. If you're wondering, weeks 3 and 4 opponents for Michigan are Central Michigan and Nebraska. Weeks 1 and 2 are New Mexico and Oklahoma. So one way to look at this is, oh, maybe they're trying to say it's worse because it's one of the games is going to be versus a Big Ten opponent, Nebraska. You could look at it as, well, maybe they just think they're going to beat Nebraska and they're more worried about Oklahoma week 2. So they're going to self-impose, right? And a suspension on their head coach, Sharon Moore, weeks 3 and 4, because they're more concerned about weeks 1 and 2 versus New Mexico and Oklahoma. Is this like, not that they care if it is or is not, because they've done this before, by the way. We can chat about that in a second. Is this like a slight at Nebraska? What do you think, Jake? And I want to know by the fans out there, is this a slight, and this is not like some big major national news. Like nobody outside of Nebraska is going to care about this. But we're in Nebraska and we tend to care about these things. So is this a slight at Nebraska, or are we overreaching as we sit here in the month of May?
I don't know if I would take it so much as a slight, but I do look further into it. I mentioned to you during the break too, a couple years ago, they did an open quarterback battle through the first couple games of the season against Colorado State and Hawaii. And, you know, it was J.J. McCarthy and the kid that transferred to Iowa ultimately. But it struck me even when they were doing it that it was disrespectful to their opponents because they weren't really worried about whether they were going to win the game or not. And again, it's Colorado State of Hawaii. So they're kind of in the middle of it. It's not necessarily, you know, some FCS opponent, but you should at least respect them a little bit. And they're just like, well, whatever, we're going to win the game. We'll see who the quarterback is. So that it does draw me a little bit to kind of think Michigan might, if they think they're going to beat you, they might go ahead and do something like that. So it does catch me a little bit off that way. Reportedly, the structure of the penalty is coming in the 3rd and 4th game because Moore coached at or played at Oklahoma. So he gets a chance to go. And they do go to Oklahoma. They go to Norman. So it would be a chance to go and play against his former team. So that's why they're saying that it's done here, not necessarily strategically because they think they can beat Nebraska. But on Nebraska's end, it is probably the second most difficult game on paper for Nebraska. And so, you know, you take the head coach out of the equation, you know, other than the Penn State game on the road. This is big news for Nebraska schedule watchers.
So in 2022 is the year you're referring to where J.J. McCarthy started what game? And it was Cade McNamara that started the other game. Okay. And, you know, in 2023, Harbaugh was suspended the first couple games of the season. And then he ultimately got suspended later on while they were literally getting on the plane to go play at Happy Valley at Penn State. But I think he was suspended the first 2 games of that season, which was against East Carolina UNLV that particular year, 2 years ago, when they won the national title. All right, and again, Penn State, Remind me, did he coach in the Big Ten title game that year versus Iowa?
I don't think so. So I think it was like a 3-game suspension. The final, I think it was Penn State, Ohio State, and the Big Ten title game that he sat out.
So he missed like a quarter of the season and some major games in there as well.
Yeah.
They still found a way to win. Then that's why Sharon Moore became the obvious choice for the head coach when Harbaugh went to the Chargers. You know, it's interesting because a part of this is having a little bit of fun as well. It's interesting because they look at Oklahoma. This is an SEC team. They're probably, and I know they didn't have the best season last year, they may be viewed as a little bit ahead of Nebraska right now, although they've got a bunch of question marks in their own right as well. And, oh my Lord, a brutal schedule. Oklahoma and Florida, they're basically playing like a soft NFL schedule. If you look at their schedules, it's insanity. Not our problem, but something that I'm just kind of like keeping an eye on. Like, it's very interesting to me. When the Gators went 7-6 last year, I'm like, dude, that's like going 9-4 with their schedule that they had a year ago. And they even beat some pretty good teams like Ole Miss. They upset them at home and they were top 5 in the country, knocking them out of the playoffs. But you get back to Michigan. And I think there's something to be said for Sharon Moore and his previous tie to Oklahoma. And, you know, he wants to be there. He wants to be a part of that game. It's at Oklahoma. So there's that addition as well. From a Nebraska perspective, you look at the schedule, all right, and you look at it early on in the season. And obviously we're going to start right out the gate, Cincinnati. You don't want to overlook anybody. You don't want to disrespect anybody. Okay, August 28th, Arrowhead Stadium. You go beyond that. You've got Akron. The game that should have been played, like, what was it, 8 years ago? Sorry, I brought that up. Houston Christian. And then you got Michigan, Michigan State. Those are going to be two tough teams, two tough opponents, both in Lincoln. Now, I'm not going to sit here and just say, hey, we're automatically going to be 3-0, but I think it's fair to expect that there's a good chance we'll be 3-0 heading into that Michigan game. Husker Nation, especially if that's a night game potentially, if we're 3-0, they're 3-0 potentially. I know they've got Oklahoma or whatever. That's going to be a raucous place to play. It's going to be similar to Colorado last year. So if I'm Michigan, I don't think there's any way I look at what Matt Rhule is building. You still got to do it on the field, but you look on paper. You got talented wide receivers, a talented quarterback. You've got what appears to be an improved offensive line. You got a defense that's been top 22 years in a row, probably more athletic than they've been, less experienced than they've been. So I expect big plays, explosive plays from the defense. I also expect a few busts here and there as we learn on the defensive side of the ball. But I don't look at a potentially 3-0 Nebraska game in Lincoln, possibly at night, especially if both teams are undefeated. There's no way they're looking at that as an easy game. So I'm trying to have a little bit of fun. Ooh, they're insulting us. I don't think they really care anyways. But I think it's more about probably his tie to Oklahoma and things of that nature. What say you, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I can agree to that. But it is also interesting just to think, you know, because like I said, this Michigan game could be seen as one of the more challenging games on Nebraska's schedule. That being said, it's not a game, as you were kind of spelling out there, that you just go, well, there's a 75% chance Michigan's going to win. It still feels like a 50-50. And so losing your head coach in that is a big deal. Remember, Michigan, there's just going to be an interesting team because on paper you can say, well, they couldn't pass the ball at all last year. Does, you know, Bryce Underwood win the job? He would be kind of one of his first big road atmospheres. We already mentioned going to Oklahoma, so he'd be a little bit tested by then. Can they even throw? But they couldn't throw last year, and they beat Alabama and Ohio State. So it's just going to be a fascinating – this makes it even more fascinating. Throw in, I'm pretty sure, the 95 reunion. I would assume that would be the day to do it. You know, 30 years. Yep. So, and then you can get the 97 talks going.
I was
going
to say, yep.
So and then you can get – so. I'm just interested because you said, you know, it could be 3-0, 4-0 going into that game. You don't get as much as that. We've heard that in previous years. The rest is going to be 5-0 by this time, 6-0, 7-0. Like even last year, you don't get that as much because of this Michigan game there. Maybe this opens up the door for Husker fans to start believing in their undefeated season for a while.
As just a pure team, that's intriguing and interesting to me beyond Nebraska. Pure team, I am. I'm intrigued by Oklahoma and Florida schedules. Like, somebody has a personal beef with those two schools. Not our problem, but it's like, look at their schedules. And part of it, Florida did it to themselves. Look at their non-conference schedule. I mean, that's partially on you. Their in-conference is bad enough as it is. Michigan is probably the most intriguing team in the entire country to me outside of Nebraska. This is a team that won the national title a year ago. Their longest pass play of the entire year was 34 yards. The forward pass was just not a realistic option for them a year ago. to your point, they just went into Columbus and bloodied Ohio State right in the face. It punched them right in the mouth and just bloodied their nose. I would argue Ohio State tried to prove a point by winning the game a certain way instead of just going out and winning the game. If they approached that game a little bit differently, they probably win the game. But it didn't happen. Okay, what ifs? You know, it doesn't matter. What happened is Michigan went into Ohio State, the eventual national champ, and beat them. And then they go into the bowl game. And the team, when you just look at pure talent composite rankings, they have a lot of youth in their secondary. But pure talent composite rankings at the time, Alabama was number one in the country. And you had Georgia, you had Texas and Oregon and like. Again, I said the best roster was Ohio State when you factor in experience, etc. And they beat Alabama and were clearly the better team that day. Michigan this year, number one recruit in the entire country, a bunch of hoopla around his flip from LSU to Michigan, a bunch of money and all this types of stuff. I think most people project him to come in and win the job. We'll see what happens. But again, if they even if they lose to Oklahoma, it's going to be a huge game for Nebraska. But they beat Oklahoma. They come in undefeated. I mean, it's not far-fetched. If we beat Cincinnati, then we could be 3-0 going into that game. The next two opponents are games we should win. If we can't expect to beat teams like Akron and Houston Christian with nothing but respect for them, but if we can't expect to win those games, we got problems. 3-0. They're potentially 3-0. True freshman quarterback coming in here. This is a team that just, they find ways to win. They find ways to bloody you. They run the ball, smash mouth, blue collar, great defense, going to tackle, not going to beat themselves, not going to have penalties, not going to turn the ball over. But with the true freshman quarterback on the road, you never know what you're going to get. Now it's the same thing I said about Dylan a million times last year. You never know what you're going to get, the true freshman quarterback. The only thing I ever said I expect is up and down. That's why I was very consistent with that. And people would throw at me. He's a five-star. I'm like, he's still 19. Like, you can't speed up the learning process. You've got to go through the process. Now, they've got the same thing if he wins the job. Now, maybe somebody else wins the job. He's the most talented guy in their quarterback room. He's obviously not the most experienced. So maybe early on in the year, they give the benefit of the doubt to a vet, and maybe Bryce takes over as the year goes along, Bryce Underwood. We'll see what happens. But I look to that Michigan game. I look to that Michigan State game. Michigan State's going to be a much improved team. Jonathan Smith is a very good head coach. He played at Corvallis, was their quarterback the last time they were a really good team, top five in the country, 2000, the year Oklahoma won the national title, beat Florida State, the year Miami should have been in because they beat Florida State but didn't get in. I digress. It doesn't irritate me at all to this day. But my point is simply, he was their quarterback the last time they were really good, ended up number four in the country, only lost one game the whole year, and he was their head coach the last time they were pretty good. When he went to Corvallis 6-7 years ago, they were bad. And they stunk and they were awful. And when he left, they were a 9-10 win program. He's now at Michigan State. Now, I'm not saying they're all of a sudden going to be a juggernaut, but Michigan State's going to be a challenging team to beat. They are vastly improved. They've got a pretty good quarterback. They've got some experience. They've got some talent they brought in. They may be a year away from being like, wow, that's a really good team. But I can sit here and say I expect them to be pretty good. And Michigan State's going to come in the next week on October. We have a bye week between Michigan and Michigan State, which is actually perfectly timed for Nebraska. So 2 weeks after we play Michigan, October 4th, we'll welcome them into Lincoln that night. As far as Michigan, they could potentially have a true freshman quarterback. Their head coach will be out. And I tell you what, I think it's going to be a recipe for an exciting night in Lincoln. It's going to be an insane atmosphere. Again, I'm already like, man, if they're 3-0, we're 3-0. Even if they're 2-1, it could be Colorado-type-esque type atmosphere. And to me, it's something it's May, right? Like, it's May. I feel like it's October, and I'm getting excited just sitting here talking about it. But Michigan is a team where they have such a culture, such an identity. You know exactly who they are. Yet, I have no idea what to expect of them because of all the question marks. But you do expect them to be pretty good. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on all this, Jake?
It is fascinating because you could get through, and I don't want to, downgrade any of this, but you could have a situation where Michigan beats Oklahoma, Nebraska beats Michigan, we're on top of the world, and nobody's really good out of the group, right? Because Oklahoma, Brent Venables is going in red hot on the hot seat there. Michigan's they just got a lot to replace, and this is going to be the year to kind of question that. Sherrone Moore, you would like him to have his full opportunity here. We'll see what happens. By the way, committee on infraction hearing for Michigan set for June 6th. and the seventh so we could get more of a punishment. This is kind of their in-house punishment. We'll see what happens there. But Michigan has just this is where you see, you know, it's easy to win with Harbaugh's players. A lot of those guys kind of stuck around. Now, you know, Mason Graham's gone. You know, Colston Loveland, you're tied in. Kenneth Grant up front. Will Johnson, the cornerback. They're two leading rushers from last year. Mullings and Edwards are both out. So they're just, they have a lot to replace. And we know Michigan can recruit, but it's different between, yeah, they have a good player, and these are all Big Ten type of players. So it is going to be fascinating to see how all of this plays out. And this is the real kind of test to kind of see if Sherrone Moore can keep that up, because they've got to replace so much in Ann Arbor. So it's going to be a wild ride, but hopefully Nebraska is going to end up on the good side of that. And I feel, you know, I think a lot of us are kind of building ourselves back into the 9-win formula. And if you get there, you know, this Michigan game could be important, but it's one that a lot of people check off as maybe would be a loss. But it's, again, I think it's more of a 50-50 than 60 or 70% Michigan.
Dude, if we beat Michigan, we're going 15-0. We're winning it all. Just mark it down right now. Let's go. You know, they had a lot to replace last year. They lost their top six offensive linemen, Michigan did. They lost their quarterback. They lost their running back. They lost their head coach. They lost their strength and conditioning coach, who was the highest paid strength and conditioning coach in the country, and Jim Harbaugh called him the secret sauce. And then look what they did. You make a great point. They're replacing a lot again this year. Here's what I'll tell you. You said something that I hadn't even thought of, because who knows how good Oklahoma is? Who knows how good Michigan? Who knows how good Nebraska is? Michigan beats Oklahoma. All right. Michigan looks pretty good. Nebraska beats Michigan. We look pretty good. But what do we really know about any of those three teams at this point? They were the best of those three. To be clear, if we beat Michigan and we're 4-0 and we're going into that bye week, I'm going to be hyped and I'm going to be running through the glass. Okay. Cause that's just me. But how real is it? We'll find out as the season goes along, and we have to play week in and week out and going down kind of the schedule. This is not our way too early record prediction show. We'll get to that at some point. I don't know. I've had a hard time doing that this year. I usually do it at least once every spring and then once right before the season. I've had a hard time doing it because I'm like, I love the coaching changes. I love what we've done in the transfer portal. I got to see it though, man. Like, I got to see things come to fruition. And here we go. The schedule's not that bad again. You were like, it's here we go again. I think what's a little bit different for me than last year, because I actually think this year's schedule is a little bit harder than last year. Although, let's be real. Illinois turned out to be a lot better than we thought. Indiana was a lot better than we thought. But then it kind of balanced out. Wisconsin wasn't as good as we thought. Not when we played them. Same thing with Iowa. Okay, and I know we didn't win against Iowa, but neither of those teams were as good as we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. So it kind of balanced out. So you never know who's – like Michigan. We're sitting here talking about them and Michigan State. We think they're going to be this, but we really don't know, because here's 15,000 question marks. You look at the schedule, it doesn't look like Murderer's Row. November is not going to be easy. Okay, USC always has talent. I don't know how good they're going to be. They don't lack for talent, ever. Even when they don't win half their games, it's due to other things out there. Okay, UCLA seems to be going in the right direction under Deshaun Foster. Then you got Penn State, you got Iowa. Nico Iamaleava is just going to make the UCLA game interesting in general. Anyways, November is going to be an interesting month. USC, UCLA at Pasadena, at Penn State, Iowa at home. Okay, you look at the schedule, and I'm like, man, it doesn't look that bad. And I like a lot of the moves, and I like the talent, and I like the coaches. I'm not doing a prediction show for a while. I have to restrain myself. I will at some point. I have to restrain myself. But before we go to break, here's what does feel a little bit different than prediction shows last year. And I did it myself. And a lot of it was due to, we had a true freshman quarterback. I don't know what you're going to get out of him. Okay. Last year, it was all about the schedule's not that hard. The first seven, just mark it down, 7-0, right? Like, you heard that everywhere. It was about the schedule not being that hard, rather than, I think the team can do this. This year, I think the schedule is a little tougher. I don't think it's Murderer's Row, but I actually think the team can do certain things regardless of the opponent. And that's what feels a little bit different about there. It's not just completely about, oh, the schedule is very manageable. It's the schedule, I think, is a little bit more difficult, but very manageable. But I think we're going to be able to throw the ball better. I think we're going to be able to run the ball better. I think our defense may allow a few more big plays here and there just because there's a learning curve. But I think our defense is going to be insanely explosive, which is weird to say about a defense. But watch Vincent Shavers. Watch Willis McGavey. Watch Dawson McCullough. They're explosive athletes. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's a learning curve where we're like, oh, really? You just gave up that play? And then three plays later, strip sack fumble for an 80-yard touchdown or something like that. Because it's there athletically, you got to give it time to learn and grow. That's the one thing I will say that feels a little bit different about this year, as I just kind of like, all right, if I was to do a prediction show, what would it look like? I actually feel like I have more confidence in what we can do, not just confidence in, oh, the opponents aren't that tough. Does that make sense, the difference I'm saying there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's easy to kind of argue your way into a schedule there. But I mean, for me, it's just, it becomes harder to do these predictions because some of these teams just have some pretty good success against Nebraska, like at Minnesota. PJ Fleck, I don't even know what it is. I think they won like 4 or 5 in a row against Nebraska. So every time going into a Nebraska-Minnesota game, I can talk myself into Nebraska winning that game, but they don't necessarily do it. So it just kind of gets into this point of like, well, they should win. They should win. But when some of these should wins turn into not wins over the years, it just kind of turns into, what do I know? You know? So it's going to be exciting, but that is what is exciting about it is I don't want to arrive somewhere because I think the schedule softens up for you. I want to have faith that my team can go out there based on what I've seen and take care of these teams, regardless of who's in front of you, and put together a really good opportunity against, you know, whether it be Michigan, Minnesota, just as much as you would think that they could beat, you know, a Cincinnati or Northwest.
It's a really good point. And again, this is why I'm not avoiding. I'm just like, I'm having a hard time doing a prediction show right now. I will do one before we kick off August 28th, but I did it just now. You literally just pointed out, thanks for the dagger, the Minnesota dagger, by the way. But your daggers are hurtful because they're so accurate, Jake. I did it here. I was like, all right, Michigan, Michigan State. I literally just scrolled down right past Minnesota to USC, UCLA, Penn State, and Iowa. And that's why I talked about them. And literally, you make a great point. We have struggled on the road at Minnesota, 4 straight losses. So what is that, 8 years, 9 years since we've beaten them at Minnesota, if not longer? And I just scrolled right past Minnesota. That's the problem with doing these types of things, man. It's exciting. It's hard not to – I'm chomping at the bit to do them. Just got to let things settle. Just got to wait till the right time, whenever the heck that is supposed to be, before we do one of these prediction shows. But, yeah, when I forget who put it out. They had us going 8-4. Was it the Vegas odds? I think we're favored to win 8 games, lose 4. And one of the 4, we're a 2-point underdog as of right now at Minnesota.
And it is 5 straight losses now to Minnesota. Also, keep this in mind. Schools to have a first or second round pick in the last 6 NFL drafts. Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Penn State, Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama, LSU, and Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, people knock PJ Fleck. If I'm a Minnesota fan, I have 0 issues with PJ Fleck. I tell you what. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.